Well, we're going to continue our manger scene investigation. Today we're focusing on the shepherds, although we're also going to talk about, again, about the encounter between those angels and shepherds, which is such an important part of the Christmas story. Kind of looking at the shepherd figure, but then also the what happened in that encounter between the shepherds and the angel, and then the angels. Kind of the controlling sentence for our message today goes like this, and if you'd repeat after me, I'd appreciate it. Angels to shepherds,
angels to shepherds.
Come in, shepherds.
Over.
It's good. So, angels to shepherds, come in, shepherds. Over. All right, you guys could be CB operators. This is good. So we don't need that anymore, right, with cell phones? Does anybody have a CB anymore? I haven't heard about it. Yeah, come in, Big Daddy. This is, you know, average Joe. Come on. Yeah, you just use your cell phone. Well, let's look at our text for today. It's a familiar text, in many ways sort of the Christmas text, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we might receive your message here today in faith. Lord, that it would make a difference for us, that we too would be amazed at the things that the shepherds have to share with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Angels to shepherds. What the angels did, this is just a recap of what we talked about last week. Angels, it seems to me, can what they do and what they do in the Christmas story, why we have them in a manger scene, they do three things. One, they appear. And as we mentioned last week, don't let that one just kind of slip by. Well, of course they appeared. I mean, they just showed up. Okay, fine. Appearing is becoming a lost art in our culture, I think. We are finding new ways not to appear, to just become part of the machine rather than actually showing up in all of our humanness in any given situation, being absorbed into other sort of things so that we actually don't even show up where we are much of the time. It's an art we are losing. So let's not take that appear thing too much for granted. Be there. You know, we spend a lot of time not being there, being somewhere else. And so they appear. Then the second thing they do is announce. They said, "Fear not. Good news of great joy for all people. Today is born for you a Savior who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord." A veiled reference to God Almighty, the Lord. And the third thing the angels do besides appear and announce is they applaud. Yay! Applauding for the living God. Glory to God in the highest, they said. Christmas, actually like the rest of the year, is all about God's glory. God comes all the way from heaven to earth and wraps himself in human flesh and deposits himself in a dusty, hay-filled feeding trough. See, it's one of the problems with the familiarity that we have with stories like the Christmas story, and there's none that we're more familiar with in the church. We repeat the story year after year after year after year. I mean, we hear it sung on our radio stations year after year, on our record players, or now our CD players, or Blu-ray players, or whatever it is we're using. But the we hear this all the time. And one of the effects of this is that a lot of the Christmas stuff becomes like wallpaper. I mean, when I hear the word manger, and this is my whole life, when I hear the word manger, not being a farm boy, I think of Christmas. I mean, I could go on a tour of a dairy and overhear a couple people that work there talking about a manger, and I'd be thinking, it's not Christmas. What are you guys talking about? It's a feeding trough. I mean, the modern translation, if we wanted to get a feel for it, was, you know, and God himself showed up, and he was born, and they put him in a big dog dish. And we think, well, that's terrible. How irreverent. How humiliating. God himself shows up on earth, and you're putting him in a dog's dish with the kibble? But that's what we're talking about. It seems like a very ungodlike thing to do. Shouldn't he be booming onto the scene with the narrator, somebody like Charlton Heston or James Earl Jones? I'm your heavenly father. You know, at a high volume. As Jesus shows up right there at the Rockefeller Center, or standing at the top of a tall building or something. And instead, there he is in the middle of nowhere, this little hick town, born to a no-name teenager and her husband. And he's laying there in a feeding trough. I mean, sneaking in with a mousy voiceover by Jim Carrey or Martin Short. Excuse me, sorry. Hope I'm not interrupting anything. I just dropped in to save the world. Okay with you? This is the glory of God. God gives. God loves. God pours himself out for others. It's glorious. This life on earth thing, it's all about bringing glory to God. And speaking of this life on earth thing, that's the second thing that the angels say in their glorious song. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. That's the other thing that this Christmas thing is all about, according to God's special messengers who showed up on that fateful night just outside of Bethlehem, appeared to those shepherds and spoke in a very economical way, just a few words, but very deep, very meaningful words. Peace. Peace. It means things being the way they're supposed to be. People in right relationships. It's so much more than simply absence of conflict. I mean, you know, the peace that we experience a lot of times is just, well, nobody really went off. That was good. You know, it's being in that room with the tension like this. Oh boy, this is a room full of dynamite. I hope nobody lights a match. And you get through it and there were no explosions. None of those age-old bitternesses came out. People left kind of smiling. Whew, peace. Don't you believe it? That's not the peace we're talking about. We're talking about a room where it's the way it's supposed to be, where there isn't bitterness, where there's love all around, where there is a sense of belonging. There is no fear that anything is going to happen at any moment that's going to be out of control or uncomfortable. That some sort of below the surface bad thing is going to be exposed in all of its ugliness. Not any of that. Peace. Oh, everything the way it's supposed to be. It begins with peace with God. A deep need and a vain hope that this baby God is going to make a reality. Peace with God. Nothing between us. No reason for us to be separated from God anymore. Peace. Peace with others, which comes out of that. The vertical peace leading to this horizontal peace. Peace with others. I got nothing to hold against you, brother. I got no reason to be angry with you, sister. We can love each other. We can be open. It can be a beautiful thing, just what it's supposed to be, peace. And finally, and maybe a very important aspect of this peace that we don't want to forget, peace with ourselves. Anybody else desperately trying to find that? I'm not there yet. I believe God's going to get me there, but I'm not there yet. This sense of, I'm okay. No, I'm not. It's a mixed bag in there. There's a lot about me that I'm just not satisfied with. And it has a whole lot, it's a whole lot more than just simply what I have or haven't achieved, or the personality that I'm able to convey to people like you and have you respond like I want you to. It's way more than that. It's what I know about myself. I'm not there yet. But peace on earth includes that. And God's going to get me there. And God's going to get you there by the completed work of Christ and by your faith. Peace. Now, why tell these Bethlehem shepherds, these nomads, about this heavenly glory of God and this earthly peace in Jesus Christ? Angels to shepherds, come in, shepherds. It's an invitation to come in. God's glory? Come on in. It's a done deal. God is glorious to the utmost. And that didn't happen at Christmas. It just was manifested at Christmas. God always has been glorious to the utmost. And God will always be glorious to the utmost. And the shepherds are invited to come in. Part of that glory is that he calls and enables people like us, people like those lowly shepherds, to sing about it and to share it. Come in to peace on earth. It's a new situation of peace between God and people, and so between people and people, available to all humanity because Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Son of God, and God the Eternal Son, has come. And this peace that the shepherds were invited to come into comes in a way that's independent of the current state of affairs in the world, independent of their immediate life circumstances. It's not about what's going on in the world or what's going on in their lives. It's about what's going on with God. Peace that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He makes and is making things like they're supposed to be. Peace on earth on whom his favor rests, it says. It's not for men of goodwill, as some translations have it, I think. It's not for the good guys in the world. All you have to do is read some of the rest of the Bible, before Luke 2 and after Luke 2, and you find out pretty quickly, good guys, there aren't any besides Jesus. Not really, not by God's standards. So if it's just good news for men of goodwill, you just describe nobody. At least not to that level of perfection that is God. Nobody's good enough. So it's not about what we've done or how good we are. It's for those upon whom the favor of God has fallen because of God's grace. It's for those who in turn have accepted God's grace in this mysterious marriage of God's sovereign will and human choice. Peace, it's another done deal in Jesus Christ. It's a done deal we all have in full, but struggle to realize as we deal with God and with each other here and now. But it is a done deal. So if you want peace in your life, Christmas is a great place to start. And Jesus is the one to connect with by faith. I think it's a fascinating reality, and I think in an overarching sort of way, I see the fingerprints of God, and I see Christ in Christmas in this rhythm that's part of our culture, really part of a worldwide culture, the rhythm of the season. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's time to get out the decorations. It's time to decorate the stores. It's time to spend like there's no tomorrow. It's time to express our love for one another in new ways. It's time to get a new credit card. It's time to go out at 4 a.m. to get a good deal. I mean, all these things that people say, well, that's not good, but wait, it's Christmas. It's the Christmas season. And you know, it comes around every year. Every year. Every year. Every year. It's Christmas, and Christmas is about God coming to earth, whether people accept it or know it or not. It's like, it's a great place to start with this peace in your life thing. A great place to start with this eternal life thing. A great place to start with this glory to God thing is at Christmas. And in case you missed it last year, or the year before, 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 it's going to come around again now. And if you miss it this year, it's going to come around again next year. Fingerprints of God? I think so. And every Walmart shopper has a chance. This is not a reality that you have to get into some secret little group called Covenant Presbyterian Church. Don't tell. And you need to go meet in a small room in a hidden place to find out the secret truth. In order to have access to this stuff. No, actually, they're playing it on secular radio for you. They're advertising it in every store that wants your dollars. Every year. Angels to people of Reno, come in, people. What do the shepherds do? Three things. I'm liking these threes this year. And I'm also liking these alliterations. This time it's three R's. They research, they report, and they revere. They come in. They go to Jesus. And they return as changed nomads, now wandering through a very different world. And they choose to do what now apparently comes a little more naturally to them, and that is give praise to God. They returned praising and glorifying God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They did their research. The angels told them, and they went and checked it out. They sought answers to the questions that must have come to their minds. Did we really just hear from God? What do you think? What did he say? What did he say? Remember? Let's check out what we can and see if it's true. Let's check out what we can and see if it's true. What did he tell us to do? Well, how about if we do it and see what happens? They took God's messengers at face value, and by faith they gave themselves the opportunity to see the Lord's word, the Lord's truth, come to life in their own experience. And the result? What God said to them was verified in their own lives. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They said, we were going to find this baby. We found this baby. And then they reported to others what they had found. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They researched, and then they reported on their research. And they didn't need to invent the stories. They didn't need to embellish. They didn't need to make them better than they were. They simply told what they knew. They heard God say to follow him to a place called Bethlehem, and this is what they found. Everything just like they said. So here's what they believed. Here's what we believed. And here's what we did because we believed. And here's what we discovered as a result. And when they told people these things, apparently it made a difference to them, because it says they were all amazed. And finally, the shepherds revered God after they had seen him, the incarnate Lord of the universe, laying before them, looking for all the world like another poor baby, born into a difficult world where he would have to struggle to survive and prosper. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They do what the angels had done. Glory to God in the highest. The one the angels applauded is the one the shepherds revere. And nobody had to command them to do so. It was the sincere response to what they had experienced. The truth of God, the beauty of God, the wonder of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the grace of God, all of that had appeared before them. And so they glorified him. They applauded him. They revered him. This is where it seems everybody in our manger scene ends up as they participate by faith in the Christmas story. Everybody ends up praising God. That, it seems, is Christmas. And that's a Christmas we can celebrate all year long. The good news in our controlling phrase for today, angels to shepherds, come in shepherds, over. God takes the shepherds' small steps of trembling faith, research, report, revere, and empowers them. He gives them eternal weight. What the shepherds do has eternal significance for them, moving them from death to life eternal. Seeing and believing in Jesus, allowing God to speak to them and responding in faith. What the shepherds did has eternal significance for us 2,000 years later. Have you thought about that? I mean, look at that figure in the manger scene. The glorious shepherd. Well, not in his day. They were witnesses to the fact of Jesus' birth. They model the proper human response to the good news that God gives. Angels to people of Reno. Come in, people. If we want to know how to respond, there's no better place to look than the shepherds. Let's do what they did. Imagine that. The simple wisdom of those socially marginalized, culturally powerless, and economically challenged shepherds comes to us today with divine power. All this takes place on that one and only star-filled night in and around Bethlehem because the shepherds said yes to God by their actions and because God had already said yes to them. In this encounter, God was saying finally something else. Over. Over. I think this points us to a spatial or conceptual sense of over. What the shepherds find is over everything else. What the shepherds are invited into and came into is the deepest and highest there is. No greater meaning. No greater peace, no greater glory. Having found Christ, their search for ultimate truth, ultimate goodness, ultimate greatness, ultimate love was done. Over. And then there's a temporal or activity in time sense of this over word. What the shepherds must accomplish or acquire in order to share in this ultimate glory and peace is over. In relationship to Jesus, these things are a done deal. No more payments to be made, no fine print, no future installments, no variable rates of interest or balloon payments. Peace is theirs. God is glorified, and Jesus shares his glory with them. And what they know in part now, they will one day experience in all its fullness in the place we call heaven. Where Luke says the angels came from. It's the same situation. It's the same invitation for us and through us to others today. The message of the angels is echoing all over the place. All over the place today. And we hear that message through the proclamation of the same good news of great joy the Bethlehem shepherds heard, and we can exercise the same act of faith that they demonstrated. So how do we respond today? How about following the shepherds? How about letting those anonymous ragamuffin tenders of the flock shepherd us today? Let's do our research. Seek answers to the questions that come to our minds. Have we really heard from God? What have we heard him say? Let's check what we can and see what we discover. What has he told us to do? Let's do it and see what happens. Let's take God's message at face value and by faith give ourselves the opportunity to see the Lord God's word of truth come to life in our own experience. Who knows? Maybe God will verify his truth in our own experience. There's one way to find out. Let's report to others what we have found. No need to invent stories, just tell what we know. I heard God say to follow him in this way. I did, and this is what I found. Here is what I believe, and here is what I did because I believe. And this is what I discovered. And I'm looking forward to discovering a whole lot more as I continue to act in faith on the things that God is telling me. Maybe somebody will find something amazing in our own stories of faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, let us revere God because he has revealed himself and his truth to us. Let us applaud him because he has come to save us and invites us to come to him and be saved. Let us give glory to him because he once lay before human eyes as the incarnate Lord of the universe, looking for all the world like another poor baby, born into a difficult world where he would have to struggle to survive and prosper. Let us honor the Lord God because he is God and is worthy of our praise. Let us sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. And so, following after the shepherds and the angels, let us be part of the Christmas story today. Angels to people of Reno, come in, people. Over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today on this special occasion, your day in your house. Lord, thank you for speaking to us once again through your word. Now, Lord, give us courage and faith to respond. Lord, to research, to check out what you've spoken to us in faith. Lord, help us to respond by reporting the testimony of our own lives, the difference that you've made in our lives, the reality of our faith in you and what it has led us to do and how it has blessed us. Lord, let us respond by revering you, glorifying you in word and in deed, living for your glory, and accepting that you live to bless us by sharing that glory with us, by inviting us again and again to come into salvation, come into health and wholeness in relationship with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake.